Welcome to Inner Peace, where we come with full intention to the option of experiencing personal peace in our day-to-day lives by changing the way that we see and offering a new look on life, one that is more in harmony with our experience. I'm extremely excited today for today's guest. Today we will talk to Brenda Adelman, an extraordinary individual that teaches forgiveness through her own experiences. Her father has murdered her mother, then married her mother's sister, and she has found a place in her heart to forgive him. Hi Brenda, how are you doing?
Good, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for letting us having the opportunity to have you on the show. And Brenda has an extraordinary experience with several things. First of all, I would like to share that she has a master's degree in spiritual psychology. She's also received the Hero of Forgiveness Award from the Hawaii International Forgiveness Project and is an award-winning actress. She has a one-woman show. It's called My Brooklyn Hamlet, and around the world, actually. And she's also teaching about forgiveness, subjects that we're going to cover today. The way that I see it, forgiveness for me would be basically retroactively letting go of judgment. But that's mean. I would love to hear, to see from Brenda what is her thoughts. So Brenda, what is forgiveness anyway?
Yeah, I agree with you that forgiveness is actually letting go of the judgment, how we hold things in our consciousness. And ultimately, like you were mentioning in The Course in Miracles, I agree with that there is ultimately nothing to forgive when you realize that what you've created is illusion.
Now, for us who are not familiar with A Course in Miracles, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that, you know, as you know, people can have, three people can be in the same place and experience the same event happening differently because all their perceptions, the way they look at life, the way they look at the person that the thing has happened to or to themselves can be different. So that's working with perception, and you know, perception is really not an eternal quality. It's something that is in this. I hope this isn't too woo-woo. You know, that's in this plane of existence that is temporary. And so, in this temporary existence, things come and go. Things are born. Things die. And in that plane, I would say there's a lot of illusion. That's what I'm alluding to. Whereas truth might be, truth are qualities such as love, peace, joy, calmness, beauty, things
right.
like that. So on that level, in the internal, there's nothing to forgive.
Forgiveness is based on our perception, and our perception is based on an internal truth, but not a wholesome, absolute truth, not something that really happens, but just something that goes through our mind. Is that my takeaway would be from that?
Yeah, that's a wonderful way of explaining that. Yes. And I just wanted to add with what forgiveness means, because sometimes people have a problem with, you know, you hear you should forgive, it's good to forgive, but you know, so many people are like, well, what does that even mean? So how I explain forgiveness in the workshops and to my clients is that it's about letting go of the resentments that you hold within yourself.
What if I go through an experience and I feel, actually, it's all very nice on the paper and those spiritual books, but in real life, somebody really treated me unkind and there was something wrong done here. How do you approach that?
Yeah, you know, I have this e-course, a free e-course on my website because of that very thing. It's called The Top 5 Reasons to Never Forgive and Why You Should. And one of the reasons is, you know, that people have given in my workshops is, well, I can't forgive because then I'm condoning their behavior and, you know, and I'm combining two here and it's just too horrible what the person did. And so I'm never saying, never ever, my point of view is not forget what someone did and it's not condoning what someone did, because I do agree there are things that people experience that are horrible and hurtful. And in my own personal life story, you know, I've dealt with a lot of that and moving through it, which I'll mention in a few minutes. But it's never condoning what the person did. It's literally letting yourself be free from your own anger.
So if I hear you right, you're saying that forgiving is really a gift you give for yourself. You're basically freeing your own state of mind, and you're really setting yourself free rather than more than you do the other, really.
Yeah, you're not even, you don't, and especially when you're starting, you're not even thinking about sex. You don't have to think about setting the other person free. It's all about yourself, because that's all you have control over anyway. I mean, the way I feel is, you know, if someone else gets some peace because you've forgiven, that's fine. But, you know, really, you want to do it for yourself and the people
right.
who love you and your loved ones, because as you become more forgiving and you're not holding this anger in your body, first of all, you're not only helping yourself health-wise, you know, because anger turns into all kinds of health conditions.
Right, right.
The people who are around
body-mind
you.
Body-mind connection. Yeah.
Who love you, you know, that you're a happier person because you've let go of this stuff, and it's not, you don't ever have to get in contact, you know, with the person who has hurt you.
What do you have to say about forgive but never forget?
You know, I know there are people who say forgive and forget. I don't believe that, because I believe that's how people get, you know, hurt again. Or, you know, if you don't look at history, you know, then people make the same mistakes. I think you just remember it, but from a place of, you know, not, again, not rewounding yourself, not refeeling everything in your system, but remembering it. And when you get to a place, I believe that when you get to a place of really forgiving something, that you can finally actually have compassion for the people who have hurt you or the person who has hurt you. And from that place, you can, like, use discernment and say, well, that was something that hurt me, but you're not tied to the event.
Right. If you just joined in, I would like to remind that we today speak to Brenda Adelman, and she is a spiritual psychologist, and she teaches forgiveness, and she's also an award-winning actress. And on her website, www.forgivenessandfreedom.com, that is forgivenessandfreedom.com, you can find the five top reasons, as she says, to never forgive and why you must. What are those reasons? Can you share more about those five specific reasons?
I don't have them in front of me, but one of them, like I mentioned, was, one of them was, if I forgive the person, then I'm condoning their behavior. And so, and my point is that you're actually not condoning their behavior. Just because you forgive, it's for you. That's the biggest thing. It's for you. It's
right.
not for the other person.
To bring
you're
peace to
saying,
yourself.
Say that again?
To bring inner peace.
Exactly. It's to bring inner peace for yourself, so you're not condoning them. Another reason off the top of my head is if someone will come into my workshop and say, if I forgive someone, then who would I be? Because they've actually identified themselves. They've, like, tied themselves with the person who has hurt them.
Right.
You know, for so many years, whether it's an ex-husband, a parent they blame, you know, things like that, they've tied themselves to the anger with this person. And what I try to say is, you know, what you would be is a much happier person, because you would have so much more openness in your life. And your show is about inner peace. You'd have so much more peace, so much more calm, so that you wouldn't, you know, your energy, your effort wouldn't be going towards this person. It's in your mind whether someone, you know, is punished or not. I bring that up again because, yeah, in my experience, you know, my father killed my mother in 1995, and he married my aunt, my mother's sister, shortly within that time, you know, within a few months after my mother
died. I'm sorry to hear, yeah.
Thank you. My father went to prison on a plea bargain 1 year later for involuntary manslaughter, because there were a lot of unanswered questions. His gun, the gun that killed my mother, was never found. That was the same gun that I learned to shoot on when I was 10 years old.
Oh, my God.
The police weren't called for 8 hours. There were a lot of unanswered questions, and the reason my brother had agreed to the plea bargain is that we learned, you know, with the judicial system, that because the murder weapon wasn't ever found, there was a cleanup. There were 8 hours, like I said, I think, before the police were called.
Maybe you can educate me. I'm sorry, Brian. Maybe you can. What does it mean? He had to agree to the plea bargain. What do you mean by that?
In the judicial system, because the murder weapon, the gun that killed my mother, was
right.
never recovered, the DA, the district attorney, believed that there was a possibility that if my father went before a jury to be tried on murder, that there was a possibility he wouldn't serve any jail time because of the fact that the gun wasn't found, even though there was, you know, a lot of other evidence. And so they offered a plea bargain to my father for a lesser crime, which was involuntary manslaughter.
Okay.
And And then there, when you get a plea bargain, there's an amount of time that's agreed to, and it went back and forth between the DA and my father's lawyers, the DA and my father's lawyers, and finally my father's lawyers agreed to for my father to go to prison on a plea bargain, involuntary manslaughter, for 1.5 to 5 years, and my brother, as a family member, had to agree to this. And
I understand.
So that's what happened. But the plea bargain actually said that he caused my mother's death by causing his pistol to discharge directly into her head. So
I'm sorry to hear. Mm-hmm.
So that my father went to prison. So, you know, I had a lot to work with my
sure.
soul journey on.
Yeah.
Well, why should I forgive? How can I forgive? What do I do with this love and hate? Because I love my father so much,
right.
but I hate him for what he did. And everything that I teach is based on mm-hmm. the work I've done and how I've evolved, how I went from living in a depression and living in anger and wanting to punish.
And I've no doubt that your work is extremely powerful and empowering at once, because it is based on such a strong story. First, I would like to tell you how much I appreciate you being open, and I think it's absolutely tremendously commendable of you to openly so speak and share your personal story and to teach through this pain, teach forgiveness as I understood it. And first of all, let me begin from the end, and if I may, where are you in regard to that story with regard to forgiveness, if I may ask?
In my personal story, I have forgiven my father. I forgave my father many years ago, and I also had to forgive my brother. My brother and I have different fathers. It was my father who killed our mother. And so when this happened, my brother's older than me too, I assumed my brother would be by my side, but I also was caught in codependence with my dad and not wanting to believe that my father was responsible for my mother's death. I wanted to believe his lies, in essence, and, so I teach a lot about how people go into denial, you know, when it's someone you love who's committed a crime or done something harmful,
right.
you know, really. I have a 3-step process to forgive that I can talk about afterwards, and that
sure.
first step is, you know, to move from denial into acceptance. And but my brother and I ended up not speaking for 6 years right after this happened, because my brother wanted to go after my father criminally. As long as I was speaking with my father on and off, my brother didn't want anything to do with me. He wanted to take my father to court and put him away. And so I displaced a lot of my anger toward my father onto my brother. Like, how could my older brother abandon me? I hate him. I really thought I would never see my brother again. I felt so alone because, in essence, on that night that my mom died, I lost my mother, my father, and my brother.
I hear you.
And then what happened was, in 2001, I made the decision to take my father to court for the wrongful death of our mom. And when I did that, I had to use every forgiveness tool I had learned in my master's program to forgive my brother so I could even see my brother and create some kind of united front in the courtroom. And I was so angry, and I used all these skills. Really, it was forgiving judgments. And, you know, the wording would be, I, Brenda, forgive myself for judging my brother as abandoning me, something like that.
Is that something that actually you said in your mind while being at court?
I know. I did the work before I went to... I was living in L.A., and the court case was in New York. So leading up to the court case, because I had quite a while, I would, you know, journal about it. I'd do free-form writing, and then I would do all those self-forgiveness judgments and forgiving my judgments of my brother.
Right.
I mean, I really devoted myself. Because this is the thing. Forgiveness is not an event, it's a journey, and there's layers, but I know it works because I was so closed down to my brother. And what happened was, when I saw my brother, because I had done the work, it's like all the anger, the walls I had put up, everything just crumbled away because my heart was open again through doing the forgiveness work. And then just a thing to add on after that, my brother and I reconciled, and in 2007, he actually invited me to do my show at an international theater festival in Vienna, Austria, my one-woman show, which is about our lives. So
let me just recap it here, because you're saying amazing things, and I just want to kind of summarize it, if I may. What I hear you saying, basically, in other words, is that when you consciously, that you have the ability for each and one of us, for myself, for you, for others, to choose to forgive, no matter how hard is the situation, and your situation is definitely was a very hard experience. So no matter how hard, you can choose consciously, just decide that you forgive and bring yourself to an inner place that is of an open heart, that is one of accepting others, and then your reality, your relationships with others, including those that you need to find forgiveness for, really change and turn around.
Yes, that decision is the first part, but of course it can be a little harder than that, because you can make a decision to forgive, and then everything unlike forgiveness comes up to be right in your face to heal. So it's that decision coupled with persistence and the deep knowing that it's going to unlock your doors to freedom.
So it's really, like you said, it's a journey. Forgiveness is a journey. It's not a goal. It's really about being, if I get it, being very consistent and one-minded about it and focused. And this is persistent about your goal to forgive.
Yes, and knowing that, you know what, even if you've decided that you're going to forgive and you are, you know, mostly in that forgiving, loving place, that your heart might close down and your old fears and your habits of, you know, holding yourself back from being in the loving will show up. And it's about, you know, then self-forgiveness and being really kind to yourself. I do want to point one thing out about self-forgiveness, because
sure.
When I started to forgive my brother, what happened is I started going to a dark place inside of me, and I felt a lot of remorse and like what a bad person I am because I closed my brother out of my life. And I started to really see the oneness and how I felt my brother abandoned me because he's my older brother. He should have been there for me. And then in that place of an open heart, I realized, oh, he probably thought I abandoned him as his baby sister. And I felt so bad. And so I had to then practice self-forgiveness, knowing just like I came to the realization that my brother did the best he could at the time, I also did the best I could at the time. I'm not saying they were the healthiest choices, but they were the healthiest ones for me. I needed, in that time, I realized to close down and kind of withdraw so that I could rebuild myself. And
so it really seems like you're talking about acceptance again, whether it's to other people, to yourself. So there's really no difference between, if I hear you right, between dealing with guilt or with dealing with a judgment towards others. It's really about accepting, and even if it's not a pleasant experience that you want to forgive yourself for, you accept that this is the best you did and the best you knew, and you move on, you let it be what it was, and you don't drag it being the future as well.
Right, that acceptance is so important, because I even believe through all the work I've done personally and also facilitating people, is that the people who are the most judgmental and the most, you know, angry at other people, gosh, I have so much compassion because I just know how angry they are at themselves and how mean they are to themselves, because you don't really practice, you know, you don't practice things that would hurt other people if you're not hurting inside.
Right.
And that's, again, not condoning what people are going through, but it's just having another level of compassion, which then opens my heart and helps me to live more peacefully instead of being in judgment.
What have you learned the most from this experience in terms of spiritual growth? I know forgiveness is a big thing, but what tools that you have learned you now can use in other experiences? Because your story is absolutely amazing, and I mean, you know, it's not much I can say. I mean, besides being in awe, it's really and the level of growth and maturity that you have faced, and looking within and really being in control of yourself rather than your past experiences taking control over you. It's absolutely commendable. It's heroic. Not for nothing, you received the Hero Forgiveness Award from the Hawaii International Forgiveness Project, and this is absolutely amazing. I think that it puts all the things that you know, on a personal level that I've deal with, and really in a different scale. It's amazing how much one can learn from your personal story. But what regard to other things in your life that you can draw from this experience? How did it help you to deal with day-to-day life with other things?
Well, it's so amazing because, you know, everything is really, really related. And, you know, the first few years after my mom died, I was filled with shame you know, kind of thinking, well, my parents are damaged, and they're damaged, so I'm damaged. Hmm. And so a lot of my work with self-forgiveness and also teaching others through even my one-woman show, a lot of my work is about, you know, that acceptance. Again, accepting what is and not judging it, and that we really have nothing to ever be ashamed about, because that shame just holds us to be, it makes us small. It makes us not live to our full potential. My life is about living to my full potential and helping others live to their full potential as well by letting go of the shame, the anger, the blame, and moving into acceptance, love, and joy. One area that is huge as far as, you know, because this is the thing. If you're angry in one area of your life, like let's say, you know, when I was so angry at my father and so unforgiving of my father, what was happening in my daily life is it was falling apart, because it's like I was consumed with anger, and not only anger, and the anger I had was one that it turned in on myself. I wasn't an outwardly angry person. Instead, I was in depression. I was overeating. I was holding myself up in my apartment. I wasn't going out. My fiance and I broke up, and I felt so damaged and so alone that it was affecting me, because I wasn't trusting men. I wasn't trusting anybody. I was thinking the people I counted on the most were gone, that there was no security in the world. So
it's really that your anger about somebody, somebody or something specific really carries away, and it really kind of leads you, like on its mercies, basically, in regard to whatever you do in your life.
Yeah, I was living reactively to everything, too, because I was living in the past, living in what if, living in what could be, what should be, instead of what is,
right.
And so things weren't working. I mean, and the funny thing is, on the outside, maybe it was working, because I was functioning. I was functioning through life. You know, I was doing a job. I was traveling back to New York to take care of what was happening with the lawsuit. I was, I looked like I was functioning, but I wasn't. You know, because I was hiding. And it's like, I know, people walk around with this fake smile on their face, if you can even get to the smile. And so I didn't have much joy.
Right.
Thank God I was an actress. So I was in an acting class, so I started to be able to express myself in class. But so many people don't have that creative outlet. So I'm really for, you know, creative outlet of kinds. I mean, I tell my story artistically because I am an actress, but I always encourage people, you don't have to do that. You can just write in a journal, just get all that anger. And a real healing step happened for me when I started writing. I started writing poetry at night that was very dark, and it was very sexual, and it was all this stuff coming out of me that I was like, who is this? I'd wake up in the morning and be like, who wrote that? And really what it was
all sounds like a very healthy experience, by the way,
for
release.
It was very healthy to get all that pain out of me. And part of the reason I think it came out late at night when I couldn't sleep, when I was in that kind of quasi, sleeping awake state,
alpha
is
channels.
Because I had not identified with those dark places inside of me, because I wanted to define myself, or had always defined myself, as the nice girl, the person in the family who fixed things.
Right,
and so by letting myself write and really being honest, I was able to get all this negativity out of me, and that was really the beginning of my healing. And that was 3 years after my mom died. 3 full years.
Wow. You mentioned something I would like to tap into a little bit, and it would be, I guess, easy to kind of overlook, but you mentioned acting, and that is very interesting. Have you studied the different methods, techniques of acting? Have you studied the what's called the method?
Yes, actually, I feel so fortunate. This is one of the things I've looked at in my life, and everyone should look at, you know, how has your life come together when you look full circle? So I started studying acting when I was in my early 20s, and I studied a little bit of the method. I studied mainly the Meisner technique, which is really about being in the moment.
Right, and that's why I wanted to talk about the method, because the method, really, which to share with others, is a technique that was invented by Konstansky and Stanislavski in Russia, and later taught at the Actors Studio in New York, and mainly started in the 50s, at the era where Marlon Brando studied, actually, and James Dean and so forth, and others, and by Lee Strasberg over there. But really what it teaches, it's all about experience. Experiencing, being in the moment, and thus not being in the past, not to try to act, but try to be. So it's really to be, to feel the moment, to be in the present moment. In other words, very spiritual in the manner of letting go of the past, just like you did with forgiveness and facing your brother for what really is and not how you think about it, like we said earlier, the perceptions. Did you find that the study of acting helped you in an indirect way with the...
I'll tell you how the study of acting actually helped me in a direct way. I feel so grateful that I had studied, and not only studying those methods, but also I have studied Shakespeare since I was a little girl. My mother mm-hmm. read it to me from the time I was like 3 years old. My one-woman show is called My Brooklyn Hamlet because of the analogy to Hamlet, because in my
right.
story, my father killed my mother and married my aunt, and Hamlet, his uncle, killed his father and married his mother. And the only place I found solace, the only place I found that there was someone that lived through something like I did, because I was so isolated, was Shakespeare's character of Hamlet. So that was pretty incredible. And then I was in an acting class and the Beverly Hills Playhouse in Los Angeles, and 3 years after my mom's death, based on one of those dark poems that I wrote, which was called I Don't Remember, because my dad kept saying he didn't remember what happened the night my mom died, I put up something called a storytelling exercise. And a storytelling exercise was something that you were supposed to put up just to be real, to be yourself, really just be, like we were just talking about, not act, just be who you are.
Right.
And I was called to do this exercise about what had happened in my life, because up until that point, I had not told anyone. People would say, what happened to your family, you know, your mom? And I'd say, oh, there was an accident. I was really in denial and in shame. And I put up this half an hour exercise, not intending to do a one-woman show at all. It was really a step in my healing process. And there were 100 people in class, and not only did I get a standing ovation, but people started sharing with me about their life stories, about shames they had, things they didn't talk about, suicides that had happened in their family that nobody could talk about. And so that was like, that was the motivation.
That's amazing. What I hear you really saying is that by you sharing with others your personal story, it really brought others to open themselves up, and you gave them a route to begin their own healing maybe.
Yeah, it was really incredible, and that's what I've learned over the years, because I've been doing the show now on and off for 7 years, and
right.
every time I do the show, you know, and there were times, certainly during the first few years, where I was like, I'd question myself and say, well, you know, why am I doing this? This is hard stuff, and it was hard back then, because I was still working through my stuff emotionally. I hadn't really done the deep level of healing that I've done now, because it's in stages, and back in the beginning, I was still speaking with my father off and on. But every performance, not only one, I mean, many people come up to me and talk about things in their lives where they're inspired to let go of their resentment. That's actually what my workshops came out of and my coaching, because people would be like, their hearts would be open after they saw my one-woman show, and they wouldn't know what they could do next. And because I have a master's degree in spiritual psychology and all the work I've done, I could give them some, you know, next steps to take. But the other thing there was something else I wanted to say about the acting. Oh, the other incredible healing that took place in the acting is that as I developed the show and as I developed as a person and as I learned about healthy boundaries and everything, I really made a conscious decision not to vilify anyone in my show and to play all the characters fully. So that means playing my mother, playing my father, and other characters, but playing them fully as three-dimensional beings and not just the event that happened. And so that was incredibly healing, because as an actress,
wow.
I get to take on the role of my mother and father as real people, not just my parents, but, you know, with dreams of their own. And so whatever judgments that were left kind of went away.
It's really amazing to me that you really allowed yourself to open up to the degree that you really to experience the point of view of your father, your brother, and your mother in that story, and to really quote-unquote play with it, really allow yourself to be brave enough to experience and feel and go through these emotions, and really to be that character, not just to act it the way that you see it, but really the way that it feels to you. And that is tremendously healing and important in terms of spiritual growth. I think that the journey that you went the journey that you went through is absolutely superb. I mean, anything else would be I'm just amazed by it. If you just joined in, I'm really delighted today to talk to Brenda Adelman, who's a spiritual psychologist She also received the Hero of Forgiveness Award from the Hawaii International Forgiveness Project. She's an award-winning actress, and she goes internationally and with a one-woman show, My Brooklyn Hamlet, and she tells her personal story of forgiveness. Her father murdered her mother, and she found forgiveness to him. And she teaches inner peace, really, in other words, the way I see it, at least. Yeah. And you can find more and read more about her and about what she calls the five top reasons to never forgive and why you must on www.forgivenessandfreedom.com. Forgivenessandfreedom.com. Brenda, again, thank you so much for being with us today. And is there anything you would like to share that you feel that if I need to go through a personal story of forgiving or even shame, where do I begin?
Yeah, well, there's several things. I think what I'll do is bring up, I have a three-step process to forgiveness, and I'm going to bring that up here, and then there's a few things I might throw in there.
Wonderful.
Little tips and tools within each one.
Wonderful.
Because I did want to talk about, well, let me start this, before I do the three-step process, with projections. So for the people who don't know what a projection is, it's, you know, when, it's like when you see someone else and you're so, this is a way to deal with your own shame, your own anger and stuff like that. When you see someone else and you're so angry at them, the only control you have is you have no control over them, but you only have control over yourself. So it's about taking your power back. So like before I gave the example of I was so angry at my brother. I thought he was so mean and so just like, oh, I was so angry. And that anger with that anger I had toward him made my heart close down, unconsciously made me feel ashamed because this was a man I loved so deeply.
Right.
So the way to heal that was to look at my my projection, which would be, okay, if I'm so angry at him, here, I'll use this example. I'm so angry at him because I feel he abandoned me. Let me look at where I abandoned myself. So that brought the control back into my hands. And then I could look at, okay, where do I abandon myself? Oh, I abandoned myself because I would talk to my dad and not let him not answer my questions and make that okay. I wouldn't speak up for myself. So I wasn't speaking up for myself, which would then cause me to feel shamed. So it's kind of a process of ownership and then applying those forgiveness of judgment techniques that I'll bring up here.
Okay, yeah, so basically what my takeaway from this at least is that my personal one is that, hey, if I need to deal with forgiveness in a personal life, let's say family, or with guilt that I have about something that I've done wrong, then one way to start would be to see what is it that I blame another and to see really to ask myself if they didn't treat me nice, to really take back that projection and how I see that in them, and to look within and say, how did I did not treat myself nice? And to start by that to in order to get eventually to the experience of inner peace.
Right, because I believe that, you know, our outer world is a reflection of our inner reality, too. And I'll mention one other thing here, which is a little different, but here with shame. So, because so many people have eating disorders or have body issues, I've certainly have had that over the years, you know, like struggling with weight in the past.
Okay.
And I would feel a lot of shame around that. Especially, I remember, you know, I've done so much work with it, so I'm not experiencing this now, but I remember when I was speaking with my dad on and off years ago, and one time he came back into my life and I immediately gained 20 pounds. And I couldn't believe it because I had not had that weight on me since high school. And I immediately went into, you know, being angry at myself and shame about it. And the way to get out of that was doing inner child work for me.
Right.
And it was like, it was reparenting myself, being kind to myself, thinking of myself as, like, I would never talk to a little child how I was being mean to myself about gaining that weight.
What do you mean by inner child and parenting yourself? What does it mean to you? We did a show with Mary Grace Longerhan, amazing person and a spiritual psychologist and a dear friend of mine, and we spoke about inner child, and for those who didn't hear the show, can you explain what does it mean to you?
Yeah, and Mary Grace is wonderful. She went to the same master's program I went to. Well, there's several ways to do it, but one way, one simple way, actually, would be connecting to that inner part of you that was so hurt, that doesn't feel trusting, that feels shame, doesn't feel like it's taken care of because the adult you is not making healthy choices. So one way is to start having a connection with that inner part of you that's at a younger age stage. It might be there's something called the 32-day process. The way I do it is slightly different probably from some other people. It was something I learned at the University of Santa Monica. I took a stuffed animal.
Okay.
And I took a picture of myself at that age stage. Let's say I felt like it was my 3-year-old or my 4-year-old that was really upset when my dad came back into my life, you know, because she didn't trust him.
Right.
And I would literally just, at night, before I'd go to sleep, I would look at the picture of myself and you know, just hold loving thoughts towards that part of myself like I would to a child who is alive right now, you know.
Yeah.
And then I would take the stuffed animal and I would ask that inner part of me silently, is there anything that she wants to say to me? Some inner children are very pissed off because of choices that, you know, as adults we have made, and they won't talk at first. But if you hang on, you keep that persistence is a really great, great quality, you know, of just being in the loving with that part of you. You'll get that inner child to talk to you.
You mentioned you do workshops and you have the 5 top reasons to never forgive and why you must. And if people want to contact you and learn more personally, see your show, My Brooklyn Hamlet, or to get spiritual psychology help through you, how can they reach you? Where can they find more about you?
Okay, so in order to get the free 5-week transformational e-course, the 5 top reasons to never forgive and why you must, they should go to my website. It's on the homepage right there on the right-hand side, and that's www.forgivenessandfreedom.com, and end is spelled out in the middle there, Andy. And they can always shoot me an email at my email is brenda@forgivenessandfreedom.com. And I'm going to be doing my one-woman show, My Brooklyn Hamlet, regularly in Los Angeles starting May 10th. And I'll have information on my website there. And then you can sign up for I have a monthly e-zine that's filled with coaching. Actually, people send in questions to me, and I put in where my show will be next and when. And I'm probably going to be doing a live workshop at least once a month also at the theater that is producing my show. Oh, and I give one free teleclass a month as well, and the sign up is also on my homepage. Each month there's a different topic. This past month it was on self-forgiveness. Before that it was on forgiving your father's betrayal so that you could experience more freedom in your life. And then, of course, I'm also a coach, a private coach, and sometimes I lead group workshops. I'm in the middle of one right now, a compassionate forgiveness teleseries.
That's tremendous. I also would like to say that I will place on the website of Web Talk Radio Network, on the show page, I will place those links. And Brenda, I truly, truly, from bottom of my heart, thank you for sharing this story and for taking time and being on the show today. And I much, much, truly and honestly have tremendous appreciation for your path and for your personal choice to master your own experience and to experience spiritual growth and transformation and forgiveness. Truly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being part of the show today. And may we all remember that forgiveness and the experience of inner peace is but a conscious choice we make again and again. And Brenda is a wonderful example that those that call for change bring it with them. For it is how we deal with life, not what happens to us, that determines our experience of inner peace. I look forward to hearing from you more next week and sharing with you more ways about how to experience inner peace.